Hello and welcome to Test Pilot, the podcast where you may as well watch the whole show instead. I'm your host, Mark, and today, for the second time in 2024, I'm joined by my co-host, Cassie. But we don't have Kale today. I'm afraid we're rolling solo for the first time in 19 years. I think we started this 19 years ago.
For our test pilot episode, yeah.
Yeah, we did. We did a bonus episode.
We did.
But as we all know, bonus episodes don't count towards the episode count.
They're not canon.
They are not canon. Everything that happens in those episodes, consider it an alternate universe. They're not canon. But
exactly.
As far as episode count-wise is concerned, this is the first time.
It's the first time it's ever been two people ever.
Ooh. I mean, that is true. I don't know why.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Is it going to be, are you going to strike me?
Strike you?
Yeah. Am I going to get hit?
Yeah.
I thought I would.
Yeah. Well, when you came in, I was shadow boxing.
Yeah. I thought.
And that was a giveaway.
I've always viewed Kale as kind of like my bodyguard.
Yeah. No, you should. Before that, it was Andy.
Yeah.
But now you're vulnerable. And for our bonus episode, I was too hyped up on Vanderpump Rules to hit you.
Yeah.
But today I'm ready.
A lot of podcasts, they do this, right? It's like a man and a woman and they're like,
yeah.
They have conversations.
Yeah. Well, my first podcast was that.
Wow. And that went well?
I'm here. So I don't know. I think we did like 9 episodes or something. No, we did like 30.
Yeah. And pretty, a lot of money.
Oh, like this incredible recording studio you're sitting in? Paid for it.
This shit's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. 2024, the year of not recording Test Pilot podcast so far.
Yeah, but the only reason why we're doing this, the two of us, is because our little babies are hungry for content.
Oh, yeah, the little babies. And I'm glad that we're addressing that. We did an online poll.
Yeah.
We kept it. It was a blank. It was a blank, just a text box. And we were like, hey, we know that you guys are, you know, we got heaps of fans out there.
Yeah, we have a fandom.
And, you know, Lady Gaga has the Little Monsters. Mm. Taylor Swift has the
Swifties.
Matt LeBlanc has the
Blonkheads.
The Blonkheads.
Yeah. There was one the other day that's so far removed for me that I couldn't figure out what it was. Oh, do you know what munches are?
Munches. Fans of the Mammy Noodle Monster.
Or fans of Detective Munch from Law and Order.
Yeah.
It's Ice Spice fans. She's got a song called Munch.
Yeah, and she's also got a song called Think You the Shit, open parentheses, fart, close parentheses.
Think You the Shit, you ain't even the fart.
Yeah, but the thing is I like the title more than I like the song.
Yeah,
Because in my mind, the song goes like this. It goes, Think You the Shit, fart. Because that's what the title is, so make it like
I didn't even
that.
Know that was her, but I do know the song.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good song. I'm glad that she did it for me. But we did a little.
I like Ice Spice.
Hey, I don't care about that.
I'm a munch.
You're a little mini muncher.
But ours are the little babies, which is where we
little babies.
Got, yeah.
Well, the thing is we put a form out and we said, hey, guys, we're taking any suggestions and like whatever you want to be called. Like it's you. You're going to be called it. So.
I want the fandom to name itself for sure.
Yeah, but then we just got all anyone sent in with little babies.
Yeah. Well, they'd name themselves.
We didn't prompt them to do that.
No. Like,
I don't know how they assembled and decided they wanted to be little babies.
We did get a couple of little boss babies.
Little boss babies. Oh, I forgot about that little fuck.
Yeah.
That little fuck is the craziest shit. I still haven't seen it.
Do you know more than anyone has brought up anything that we've discussed in this podcast? People have come, said to me, thank you for explaining the plot of Boss Baby. And I'm like, I'm here to do a service.
Well, the thing is, it's a wild plot and there has to be more. Like, there's more Boss Babies, right?
Yeah. Oh, he's not the only Boss Baby.
No, I mean, they're going to make more. But then I remembered that he, shot a woman in the face.
Shot a woman in the face.
Yeah.
It really puts a dampener on the old Boss Baby thing. But maybe they'll write it in.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you think during that whole shooting in the face incident, someone, the creator of Boss Baby, had a moment there where, he said to someone, he was like, Yeah, no, like it's crazy that that's just happened. And he's accidentally, like, it is manslaughter, I guess you'd call it. And I mean, I'm just worried about the future of Boss Baby personally.
Yeah, no, that was me.
It was you?
I said that.
Because he'd have to be like, oh, what a horrible thing that happened. But there's probably going to be more Boss Babies, right?
Right?
Right. Well, like even if he goes to jail, like they'll let him out to do the Boss Babies.
This is like huge for me because I've seen like 4 films and one of them's Boss Baby. So if like a quarter of your films were like, you can't get a sequel to that.
Yeah.
You'd be horrified.
There's going to be a new Boss Baby.
I would hope so.
The thing is, Boss Baby can go on without Alec Baldwin.
Well, there's multiple Boss Babies, so let's focus on...
What do you
on,
mean?
Let's, because like half the babies are baby babies and half the babies are Boss Babies. So...
Yeah.
A female Boss Baby. I said it.
You think
it's 2024?
You think 2024 the world's ready for a female Boss Baby?
I think so.
I am. I'm cautious, and the only reason I'm cautious,
I think that she's gonna get doxxed online.
She's gonna get doxxed online.
Don't get me wrong. That's but we're gonna have one.
That's for people are gonna stand outside her house, and they're gonna throw rattles and baby bottles at her, but like full of piss.
Yeah.
But is it? The I mean, I will go back to the female Ghostbusters. Like that didn't really work, and the female. There's been other female Ocean's 11. No one watched that. No one really cared about that one.
I would love
one.
To say I did, but I didn't.
No. People were like, we can't wait for this to come out. And then when it came out, people were like, well, I'm not going to watch it. No, I can support it and not watch it.
I definitely did that, though. I definitely did that. Because it's cast for my love.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Two of my favorite people in the world is Julia Roberts and Mindy Kaling.
Okay.
And so I was like, this is written for me. I'm not going to watch it.
No. Listen, I can observe from a distance and say, I'm glad that this is happening, but yeah. I'm not going to watch it.
I'll absolutely watch some man, has to be a man, like condense the plot into 10 minutes on YouTube.
I mean, that's what this podcast is.
We don't condense. We're not that good.
No, we're not quite. But we should do like, we should start doing like the big, like the Charlie's Angels, the Reba? The Rebas.
Reba, yeah.
You know, the Roseannes. Roseanne's, she's doing well at the moment.
Have I ever told you about what the ending of Roseanne is?
No. Yes. Is she was like in a coma?
It was all a dream, yeah.
But then they brought her back. And were they just like, psych?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it's just never addressed. But I don't think many people know that. And it's only that my brother got into this real Roseanne obsession when he was doing his PhD on Roseanne.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah. And he told me that and I was like, bullshit. And I Googled it. It's very true.
Yeah.
And the guy's dead the whole time. Like John Goodman.
But then they just psyched out the audience when they brought it back.
Yeah.
Or like, does the show start with Roseanne and she's like, going to bed again. And she's like,
it's just another dream.
It just starts with it. She's like, boy, I'm tired. I sure hope this dream doesn't go as long. And then she gets into bed.
What a non-consequential dream too. Like her husband dies and she goes into a dream, like saying just dreams of daily life. Like,
Okay. So she didn't make up his existence. He existed, but had died in real life.
He died. And I think that's when she started dreaming.
When she met him in Dream World.
Well, no, in Dreamworld, he was just still alive. She went to, you know the song Stick Season by Noah Kahan?
I mean, I'm furious that you've even asked me that question. Okay, I don't even know what a Noah Kahan is.
Well, there's a line in it that really speaks to my soul where he goes, I dream each night about some version of you, one I might not have, but I did not lose. And that's what she was doing. He wrote that song about
Roseanne. Where the fuck is Kale?
Can I read you Taylor Swift lyrics?
Yeah, as long as they're about Roseanne. Actually, that's what I think Love Story was about.
Oh, no, it was.
We were both young when I first started Czech. Roseanne was young once.
When I first saw you, but
sure. I don't know any of the other lyrics.
I close my eyes and the flashbacks start.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Little... I'm standing there.
Okay, Roseanne, she was usually sitting. She was a bigger woman.
That's true.
Yeah, she went crazy. She's gone crazy.
She has.
She literally, like, I watched a video the other day of her, like, addressing, like, the, I don't know, big group of Trump supporters. And she's just spouting the biggest amount of nonsense.
She's insane.
I've
and
heard.
I always get her mixed up with Rosie O'Donnell, which is
unfair.
Oh, yeah,
poor Rosie.
Because Rosie's, like, very politically good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm always like, which one do we hate again?
Good
it's Roseanne.
So the little babies, the little boss. Oh, do we get to the conclusion of whether there will be another boss baby? A female boss baby.
I think...
Just...
I think that there will be in...
Pitch it to me.
The next 3 years, we will get a female boss baby.
Okay, first of all. So imagine this is the Netflix office. Because the next boss baby movies is going to be a direct-to-Netflix film. I think we can both agree on that.
There's no way they don't do a female boss baby direct-to-Netflix. If it had been a boss baby, for sure.
If we're getting Baldwin back, we go into the cinema.
But we're not.
But for this one, it's going straight. And it'll rate well. People are going to watch it. Okay, so I'm going to cast it right now. I'm Mr. Flix, okay?
Can I cast her?
Okay, you can cast. Well, you know, you got to, when you enter a room, you have to introduce yourself to start with. Like, that's just like.
Oh, hi, I'm Cassie.
Hey,
I'm boss baby.
Hi, I'm Mr. Flix from Netflix.
Mr. Netflix.
Hold on, here he comes. And so usually Kale would play the character Mr. Net.
Yeah.
And so just imagine there's a guy that comes in the room and he's dressed like a dog catcher.
Yeah.
And he's got one big net.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, that's Mr. Net. And then I go, get out of the way. You're in the way of Mr. Net. And he's just a normal guy in a suit. And it's like a visual gag.
That's,
you know what,
hilarious.
I mean? And then I go, did you catch that dog?
Yeah.
And then that will come up later. There'll be like a loose dog. But for now, Mr. Flix is at the table and he's like, oh, come in, Cassie. You're here to pitch the boss baby four.
Yes, boss baby three.
Now, are you doing anything fun with the title?
Boss baby three. Let's go, girls.
Let's go, girls. Is the three appearing as like one of the S's in boss baby?
No, it's teddies on their side.
Okay, so you say it's what on its side? Teddies.
Titties.
Oh shit! So like a side profile of titties.
Because what,
stacked titties?
What do women have?
They have titties.
What do babies love?
Babies love titties.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm thinking...
It's meta.
If you'll let me take over for 1 second, this is how I'm imagining the opening title. So it says like, it just comes up with like boss baby. And then below boss baby, a big pair of like honky milky boobs.
Mm.
Yeah. But then below it, you can see the outline of like, so it's like a bra and then she rips open the bra.
Yeah.
The whoever this is. And you can see like the underwire of the bra is a three.
Yes.
And then that goes off and like we leave the tits on screen.
Of course.
But the three kind of moves away and it says boss baby three.
I love this.
And it says what was the tagline?
Let's go, girls.
Let's go, girls. Okay. Yeah. So, and the boss baby is played by?
Okay, so this is daring, this is big, but
Kamala Harris?
No. Okay. I would love that, but no, not for this.
Not for this.
She's like just got a new sense of freedom. She's looking for work. Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Yeah, you came in assuming I would know who the fuck Gypsy Rose Blanchard is.
There's no way you don't know who
Gypsy
Rose Blanchard
is. Is that Kate Blanchard's daughter?
There's no way you don't know this. You're fucking with me.
Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Yes.
I can take guesses. She sounds like she's related to Johnny Depp somehow.
No.
She sounds
it's
like...
It's because she has the middle name Rose.
And
his kid's name's Lily Rose. That's where you're going.
Hey, if you say so, buddy.
Yeah, because I accidentally watched The Idol when I had COVID.
So Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Who dat?
Okay, so Gypsy Rose Blanchard was this girl and like 14 years ago, she murdered her mom.
Oh, I have heard about Gypsy Rose Blanchard. But I do think that for the little babies out there, they do need a recap.
Yeah. So she's got this tiny little baby voice, which is why I immediately thought of her for this role. Also, of course, she's looking for work.
Yeah.
So Gypsy Rose Blanchard's mum had Munchausen by proxy, which is the condition.
I'm just going to throw it out here.
Yeah.
The term Munchausen.
Munchausen's.
It sounds very little.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, they've changed the name and I think it's weirder.
They should because
it's called fictitious disorder placed on another person now.
No.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
That the guy who named that is a Nepo baby. I'm throwing it out now.
Yeah, probably.
His dad has named so many diseases. His dad's the one that came up with like AIDS.
Oh, polio, which is polio. Catchy as fuck.
Polio slaps.
Polio, plague.
Yeah. And then he's kind of like always lived in his dad's shadow.
Yeah, and he's been sitting around like doodling ideas.
Yeah, and then his dad's like, "All right, you can name the next one." And he's like, "Actually, I'm not gonna give you a new disease because like that goes to the best of the best. We're renaming that disease that everyone thinks is about little munchkins."
Yeah.
Like fictitious little troll men.
Yeah.
Like little munchky trolls.
Little green ghouls.
Little green ghoul men. No one takes this sickness seriously because as soon as you say Munchausen by proxy,
yeah,
people are thinking about those little green ghoul men.
Yeah, yeah.
So we needed it renamed. And what did he rename it?
Fictitious disease placed on another person.
That's fucking piss weak.
Yeah, it's really bad.
That is a real bad effort.
But you're right. It screams Nepo baby.
Okay, so her mum had this.
Yeah, so her entire life, her mum pretended that this kid was paralyzed, gave her like feeding tubes, like invasive medical procedures and things like that. And so then she like stole a phone and got online and made a little boyfriend.
Okay, now we were talking about little munchkins before. Now when you say little boyfriend.
Oh, he's of an average size.
An average size. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean a little boyfriend the way that they're messaging back and forth. Like,
Yeah. And he's around the same age or is he like an old man?
No, I think he's a couple years older than her. Okay. Not much at all. Although it's.
That's actually kind of cool.
It's important to know that she has like, at this point, she has the world experience of a 5-year-old.
Yeah, but.
And then she's like, I'll never be able to leave my mom. She's never going to let me go, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, cool, I'll murder her. And she's like,
oh, yeah.
Sick.
So let's get this going.
And then he murders her and they like run away together.
Okay.
But then after a couple of weeks, she's like, oh, it's kind of sad that no one's found my mom's body.
Oh, so just sitting there.
Yeah. So she posts on MySpace from her mom's account being like,
I'm dead. I'm actually feeling kind of dead. Can someone come check on me?
Acting like the killer being like, I fucking killed that bitch, blah, blah, blah.
Well, so she created a fake MySpace that was the killer.
Well, no. The mum had a MySpace. She went logged into the mum's MySpace account and pretended to be the killer writing on the mum's MySpace account, being like, that bitch is dead.
Yeah, she does have the mind of a 5-year-old, right?
Well, the wildest thing, because I watched the documentary recently, but the wildest thing is that she's like, I truly never considered the possibility that I'd go to prison.
Yeah. She probably didn't know they existed.
Because she's like, because he did the stabbing. So yeah. I thought I would be in the clear no matter what.
Okay.
Wild. But anyway, so then the police arrive to the house because they get a welfare check from like a family, find her dead and find the kid's wheelchair there. And they're like, and her like, dad, no one knew she could walk or anything.
Yeah.
She goes to jail. She recently got out.
How long did she go to jail for?
12 years.
12 years. That's not bad.
She got engaged twice in jail, married once.
To different guys than the murderer. What happened to the murderer?
He's in jail for life.
Oh, he got a raw end of the deal.
He really did because don't think he was like very smart. Like mentally developed. Yeah. I think he actually developed mentally like disabled.
Okay.
Which he's now appealing on.
And now she's out.
She's out.
And she's looking to work, probably.
Well, that's the thing. And she's got a tiny little baby voice. And I'm like, gypsy babe, no. Do I have the role for
here's
you?
But here's the issue. The only issue that I'm coming up with this. Because I love the casting. Because I'm guessing we can put a lot of like.
It's classic stunt casting.
A lot of jokes in there about like killing. Like,
yeah.
Like the real mum will come by and then she'll go, I ought to kill you or something like that. Like, and then.
It's
and then,
not the biggest boss baby move to kill your life giver.
Yeah. But the issue I have is that kind of the main thing about boss baby that I've come to know is that boss baby speak like adult.
So she's still an adult. She's just got a squeaky little voice. Okay. And they're never going to let boss baby be like talking like this. They're not going to let her be a boss baby. She's got to be a boss baby.
Yeah. No,
you know, I'm trying to predict the backlash here.
No, I think it's good casting.
Thank you.
And so the plot would like, so because she's, so we've got an A-lister in it. We'll put her on the poster, big name. And it'll be like, open parentheses. Yes, that one.
Yeah.
Close parentheses. Who usually plays, like, we'll get like a Jacob Tremblay. He's still got one of those little baby voices.
Yeah,
to play like
no,
the brother.
He'd be down.
I don't know if we need, maybe we've had two brothers before. Maybe we want sisters in this one.
And so I'm going to throw something out there.
Okay, please do.
Northwest.
Sure.
She's 11 years old. It's time for her to start.
As long as I don't have to come up with a small child, I'm happy. I can't do it. Don't know any.
I think that's great casting. I would love to hear when North discovers that it's possible to murder your parents, I think that's going to be huge.
Oh, yeah. So I think this is me as Mr. Flicks behind the desk.
Yeah.
As soon as you've mentioned the lady who's killed her mom, gone to jail, starring in a children's film, I've already signed the paper.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a really, really good film.
While we're on Gypsy. A topic I never want to leave, to be honest.
Okay.
We discussed that 2024 was the year of shooting our shot.
Yes. Have you shot your shot with Gypsy?
Gypsy got out of jail on December 28th, and that is when I messaged her, because I do what I'm told.
What did you message?
Would you like to hear my messages?
I would love to hear your message. By the way, if you haven't listened, last episode we decided that this year we were going to start shooting our shot with celebrities. We're going to drop into Instagram direct messages, and we're just going to see if any of them want what we're giving, and if they want to talk to us.
So, here's my issue. I didn't realize that when you message celebrities, some of them have a thing where you could only send one message.
Oh.
And you know me, I'm very much multiple messages to say
me
one.
Me too, to a fault.
Yeah. And so,
she's only got the one in.
So no. Oh, she's fine. But there was a few of them, and it took me 3 times to realize that this was a thing.
Yeah, okay.
So to Trisha Paytas, I just wrote Trisha.
Okay, need help? Trisha. You're going to have to assume I don't know these people.
Yeah, okay. So Trisha Paytas is a YouTube personality and an all-around weirdo.
Okay, and you just said Trisha.
Yeah.
She didn't respond.
I forget what I was going to ask her.
Okay, so let's for you, those of you keeping score at home, that is a swing and a miss. We shot our shot, but we did not hit the target.
So next I messaged Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, okay, my old flame.
Well, I said, hey, man, we have a mutual friend, in brackets, Mark O'Brien.
Yes.
And I'm desperate to know what your favorite Blink-182 album is.
Okay, and
No response.
Mm. That's weird, because he usually doesn't respond to me. So it's good to know that it's other people as well.
Yeah, no. I think it's fine.
I hope he's okay.
So
you know what I mean? Hope he's okay.
Why isn't he responding?
That's the thing. I'm a bit scared. And
do we call a welfare?
When was the last time you saw? I remember him in Rat Race, and I haven't seen him since.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So do we call a welfare check and call the police in LA, and we say, look, he's not responding to our messages.
Hello, police. I've got a black man to report. Hey, say no more. Say no more.
And they're like, why are you responding to the messages? So I messaged each of the Veronicas separately.
Oh, they'd respond.
Well, I wanted to know which one of them they thought would win in a fight.
Okay. No response. That's four swings and a misses. Because we could class the Veronicas as one entity, but we're going to keep them as separate people.
I want to respect that, yeah.
Their last name wasn't Veronica, was it?
It is. Apparently.
I thought it was Archie thing.
No, I reckon it's not. I reckon that's just them doing that.
Yeah. Because I thought it was Instagram an Archie names. Thing. Because isn't the band in the Archies called the Veronicas?
No, they're called the Pussycat Dolls. Dude. They're called the Pussycat Dolls. Where have you been?
No, you know what's
Veronica
crazy?
Veronica is one of the characters in Archie.
You know the song? Sugar, dun, 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 dun.
Honey, that's
an Archie song?
Really?
Yeah.
Pussycat Dolls, because he's got a band.
No, it's his band.
Yeah.
And it's I saw the film clip the other day, and it's just these dipshit cartoons. And that's
Did we do Riverdale?
We did, yeah, we did with James.
Oh, yeah, because there's a teacher fucking thing. Yeah.
There's got to be a teacher fucking thing. So you shot your shot with the Veronicas.
Yep, nothing. So then I decided to move on to Trisha's husband.
Okay.
So Trisha
the one that you've just already said Trisha to.
Yeah, so Trisha Paytas' husband, he's life passion is water.
Okay. What?
That's fascinating, Moses.
So what do you mean?
I don't really understand either. So I write, hey, Moses, what's your favorite and least favorite type of water?
Yes.
I enjoy a river personally. Please get back to me ASAP.
Nothing. This is depressing.
It really is because
how busy are these
he
people?
Only has 125,000 followers. I feel like you could reply to me.
Yeah. That's more than I expected.
Trisha Paytas is gigantic. Well, let's find out how much she has. She has 1 million.
Oh, okay. Hit the milli.
So then Gypsy. She gets out of prison.
Oh, she's going to be busy that day. She's not checking her Instagram.
And that's where I fucked up. But I wrote, oh my God, I missed you.
Yeah, give it 2 days and she would have been responding.
Exactly. But I wrote, oh my God, I missed you. Have you heard the new Blink-182 album? Thoughts with seven question marks.
Yeah. She'll get back to you, actually.
She'll get back to me.
Because she has to listen to it.
And when she
times.
Does, I'll hit her up about Boss Baby.
That's good.
It's just a good opener.
Are we literally no responses from anyone?
Nah, still going, though.
Still going. Should I shoot a shot right now, live on air?
Yeah,
Who should I shoot a shot with? Now, I want to go big. I want to go big for my first shot.
You
want to
go big? Because I'm about to get bigger here.
You're gonna
I decided
get big.
To start small to see if I actually could get a response. And then I was like, no, Cass.
Listen,
the next one's something that I really had to fix in my life. So we'll get to it. But
now, I'm going to check. First of all, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to search on Instagram, Eric Per Sullivan.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, I think it was E-R-I-K.
Yeah, it is.
He doesn't have an Instagram account because, as we all know, he's dead.
Absolutely.
So that just confirms my point.
What about Frankie?
Frankie, well, he won't remember it. His brain's gone.
True. He'll see it. He'll like half type a reply. He'll log out.
I gotta find who's the one I wanna, who do I wanna shoot my shot with? I'm going A-list.
If you wanna go big, I can tell you who the most followed person on Instagram is.
Is that Justin Bieber's?
No, it's Selena Gomez.
Gomez. I don't really know much about Selena Gomez.
She has lupus.
She's got lupus. Oh, we'll start there. All right. Selena Gomez, let's jump in. All right, I'm going to send her a message. Okay, I think I'm only going to get one message with her.
Mm.
So I'm going to start it with, hi, Selena. What up?
Yeah, that's cute. That's catch. It's adorable. It's like, I'm just a cool guy.
It's just you and me in this moment.
Yeah.
So I've said, hey, Selena, what up? Just heard about the lupus. Just heard about the lupus. Devastated.
Yeah.
Here's a playlist that might help. And I'm just going to send I'll search Blink-182 playlist.
Yeah.
And I'll just send her whichever one comes up first.
Well, that's really, you know what, that's really kind though.
Playlist. Okay, and this one's actually looks pretty good. It's got heaps of it goes for 4 hours. So.
Yeah. Wait, tell me the first three tracks. I just want to make sure.
Well, here's the thing about this Blink-182 playlist. You're not going to like the first four tracks, let me tell you that. Because I don't like the first four tracks.
Okay.
Track number one, First Date by Blink-182. So we're off to a fine start. Track number two, In Too Deep by Sum 41. Now we've gone off the rails a bit here.
But it's called a Blink-182 playlist?
Yep.
That's a lie.
Track number three, Basket Case by Green Day. Track number four, The Anthem by Good Charlotte. I'm telling you, this is not a Blink-182 playlist.
Do you think it has the ability to cure lupus?
Well, we haven't tried it.
That's very true. She's never tried.
I'll just send this to her. I'll copy. There we go. I gotta hit the share button, copy link, and then I'm gonna say, sorry about the Sum 41, 41 track two, track two. It's the last thing you need. Okay, now I've sent that. It instantly didn't work.
Yeah.
She doesn't let people send her messages, and I'm not going to say she's going to live with lupus for the rest of her life because of that. However,
we can't prove that there isn't medicinal qualities to that playlist. Okay, so for my next message, I thought, look, your life's not going great, Cass. There are things that aren't great in it.
Mm.
Let's use this shooting your shot to improve it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, what we want to do is from shooting our shot, we want to be like way more rich and successful than we are right now.
Absolutely. Or at least improve relationships in our lives.
For sure.
So I don't think I've ever mentioned this on the pod or to you.
You're a big Dr. Phil fan.
That's actually true. I was watching Dr. Phil last night. But while my friend slept on the couch and I listened to it so quietly, just thinking, I hope he doesn't hear.
Someone around and you're like, well, I got to get my Dr. Phil fixed, but I just don't want him to find out.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's good.
Yeah, he didn't mention
it. It's a recognizable voice. And that's the thing, because if he hears your phone, he knows you're listening to Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He's not going to be like, that guy sounds like Dr. Yeah. Phil, because he's going to be saying some Dr. Phil like shit.
Yeah. And at one point I heard him snoring. I was like, oh, I can turn it up a bit. It's fine. I'm safe because I had to put on captions. I had it that low. But something else that I haven't mentioned on this podcast or to you is that this isn't my first time shooting my shot.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I used to send persistent messages to Kim Kardashian's best friend, Jonathan Cheban.
Okay.
Implying that he had 7 children.
Okay.
So if he posted a photo of a very big pizza and I wrote, I really hope that your 7 children enjoy that. Like things like that. Thinking he never saw them until he blocked me. This is dead serious. And it was my favorite thing on earth because I kind of thought, what if he was with her when he blocked me and he was like, oh, this bitch. And for a second, she knew I existed. Yeah. But I was like, I would love to be unblocked by Jonathan Cheban, aka Food God.
Are you still blocked by him?
Yeah.
Do you want me to get in there?
Well, I would love that. But also, I jumped in with my boy, Scotty Disick.
Okay, yeah. Scotty D.
I wrote, Scott, sweetie, I hope your Hanukkah was swell. I'm in a bit of a pickle that I would love your help with. Our mutual friend, Johnny Cheban, blocked me on Instagram for reasons that are super unclear to me. Would it be possible for you to put in a good word for me?
Yeah.
No response, but I have to believe he's put in a good word.
He's gotta. He's gotta. I've never heard of this Johnny Cheban, but he sounds...
He goes by Food God now and he's never gone by Johnny Cheban.
He sounds nefarious.
Yeah. And then I jumped into... Where else did we go? Oh, Dave Portnoy.
Okay, yeah. I think that's not even that big of a shot. I think he'd read a message.
He has 4.7 million followers.
Fuck, that's a lot of... Actually, imagine his messages. It would be a fucking cesspool of people going, be gross. Hey, bro.
Yeah, that kind of shit. But I was just like, Dave, my boy, what are your thoughts on Calzone?
Yes.
Would love to know, but...
No response.
But I'm guessing he's thinking about it.
We got to go lower. I think that's how, after my Selena Gomez kind of debacle that happened before, I think I shot too high.
Yeah.
I've gone for the person with the most amount of followers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go for the person with the least amount of followers because that's too easy.
Yeah.
But I want that celebrity that's got like less than 10K.
Yeah. Oh God, that's hard because that's not a celebrity.
Well.
That's like an influencer.
I'll find one. Yeah. By next week, I'll find the perfect one and I'll show the conversation because... Under 10K, they're responding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll continue to shoot my shot. We'll check back in.
Yeah, I think it's been very successful so far. And yeah. I think it's really getting the podcast. We didn't mention the podcast in any of them.
I really did focus in on Blink-182. Yeah.
When we get the response.
And look, I'm telling you, if Gypsy's responding, I'm skipping the podcast. I'm going straight to Boss Baby.
No, for sure.
Yeah, because you just got to be smart with these things. She's getting a lot of offers.
She's getting a lot of offers. And Boss Baby would be at the top of the pile.
I actually think she was asked to be on The Traitors and she was like, no.
I think it's about time to jump into some fast facts and start talking about the episode that we're doing today. The show we're doing today is called The Lazarus Project. It aired from 2022 and it's still going. It has 2 seasons with 16 episodes.
Recent.
Overall on IMDb, The Lazarus Project has a 7.3, and the pilot episode, episode 1.1, has a 7.2. Oh.
So you're continuing your trend of bringing us recent shows.
More recent. Like shit that I've just like kind of, what I do is I use it as like a way to try TV shows.
Yeah, basically. That have been sitting on your list.
Like shit that I'm like, that kind of sounds cool. And usually what I'll do is I'll just search like, recent sci-fi show, and I'll just go with one off the list.
Silo from,
because I always
Last
find
Project.
I always find that it brings
the
like
peripheral.
The peripheral. Mm. What was
it's
the peripheral?
Actually, very clear that that's what you've been doing. Yeah. I list them.
Yeah, I've just been doing one Google search each time.
Yeah, okay.
You're like, how does he come up with these so quickly? I've got easy.
No, I don't know how I didn't pick up on it. Yeah. They really all are doing. All sci-fi shows.
It's all I'm doing. Just typing in modern sci-fi. Well, and on the other hand, remember when I brought us that fucking the best of times or whatever the shit that was? Like,
was that the Nicolas Cage
show? Yeah. Like the system I'm doing now is better than that.
God, yeah.
That shit was crazy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I searched this one. The premise sounded kind of cool. And then we locked it in and then a month passed at least.
Yeah, and I watched it the first time.
Yeah, I really hope you watch it again.
I did. I watched it just before.
So I'd forgotten about it. I'd forgotten about the premise of it when I came into this episode. I did know that it was sci-fi-y and that's about all I knew going into this episode. I remember thinking it sounded cool a month ago, but I had completely forgotten about why I picked it at all. Episode 2 of 2024, off to a banger.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll jump in and we'll start talking about everyone. And by the way, I don't think this show is a success.
I haven't heard anyone discuss it. What is it showing on in Australia?
It's on Stan in Australia. It's a Stan show and probably one of their originals, they probably call it. But it's like, it feels, it's British for one thing. And I'm going to say it's like one of those Channel 4.
Whichever
one used to air Black Mirror is now airing The Lazarus Project, let's assume.
Yeah. Well, like Misfits.
We haven't done many British shows on this podcast.
We haven't.
There's not that many.
They've got, well, half of them have like three episodes. So it's like once we've done it, we've done a third of the season.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah. this one was a bit different than I expected. And I thought it was kind of fun going into it.
I felt like a lot happened. Like, dude, I felt like I watched a little mini movie.
Yeah, it was quite long. I think that, and we'll get into it when we start going through the episode, but the whole France bit.
Mm.
I didn't expect that much to be in this episode, you know. No, what I mean?
And you know what's funny, because I did watch it like a month ago. When I watched it today, I kept being like, "Oh yeah, this is where the episode ends," and then it would keep going. So I actually kept. It was like a full rewatch.
Dude, as far as setting up what their show was about, I think this is one of the most successful episodes we've done.
Yeah, like, yeah.
They really set the tone of the show. They really explain what the fuck you're going to be watching every week.
Great ending.
So we open on, I believe we open this.
They're in bed.
The way that every single show should always open, and that's an alarm clock going off and people waking up.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Because otherwise, when it starts and it's in the middle of the day, I'm like, what was your morning routine?
What did you do?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Were you sleeping before this?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Have you ever slept?
And so we get the two main characters. We're not going to name them because we don't know their names, unless you do know their names.
No, main guy and main girl.
Okay, main guy and main guy's girlfriend.
Yeah, that's fair. She doesn't do shit. Main guy and Deborah. She has some Deborah moments.
Oh, dude, she's such a Deborah.
This woman.
This lady. And the thing is, there's not many women. There's not many characters in this. Let's say. But all the women weren't great.
You know, two.
Yeah. And I didn't really like either of them.
Yeah, no, same though. Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. Hey.
They were both.
I'm the producer of Boss Baby Bitches in Action.
Would you say that the two women were both pretty naggy?
They wouldn't stop nagging me.
They would not stop nagging.
I kept being like, God, change the record.
Yeah.
And so we
I'll take the trash out next time we loop back to this timeline.
We wake up and that's the trash is being collected outside and they realize
they forgot to take the trash out.
They forgot to take out the trash. We see a clock. The clock's really futuristic and it made me think that this was like future.
Just has a really cool clock. He didn't get his clock on Timu like my clock.
Yeah, dude, his clock is futuristic as fuck. It like swipes sideways and shit. Yeah. I was like, what space age hell do we live in here?
Exactly. It's got like the other thing is that London was crazy empty. So I thought it was like post-apocalyptic for a while.
Yeah.
Because for some reason that was the world's emptiest London.
Yeah, yeah.
And like it was so empty that I truly thought for like the first 10 minutes it was a post-apocalyptic thing.
Yeah.
It was not.
The world went wrong. They created too many clocks.
Yeah. So it's the 1st of July.
1st of July. Very important to note that. The alarm goes off 6 a.m., he wakes up and he's like, oh, today's the big day. Yeah. I've got the big meeting today. His girlfriend is like all excited for him. And then he goes off, brushes his teeth. And then there's like a clip of him walking out. She wishes him luck. There's a clip of him walking out. He's walking through the streets. He bumps into a guy. After he bumps into the guy, he goes into the bank. And I think it's a bank or it's like a tech company startup type thing.
It's a bank, but fun fact, the external shot of him walking in, I've been in that building.
You have?
I went to an event in that building once.
Oh my God.
For work. And it's also, I've never seen Harry Potter, but it's the building for like the bank.
Like Gringotts?
Gringotts.
Yeah. Cool. So he goes into this and then we see a scene of him like talking up.
His app. And his app is like... It makes predictions about the future of companies for investors.
Yeah, it's all data driven and he basically gets given the guy across from him. He's like, well, prove it. Prove you're good at this. And so he like finds a company from the news. He's like, hey, check this company.
It's going to come up. So let's call it Big Important Company.
Yeah, he's like, check out Big Important Company. This company, all the data behind this company makes me think it's not going to work.
Well, he's like the leader's in his 80s. He has like 8 children to 8 different mothers. That's a company that's going to go through a period of instability.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, oh my God, you've got the job, buddy.
Yeah. Well, the loan, but sure.
He gives him the big money job, big money loan job. And he's like, you've done it. You're the fucking man. And so he goes home. And then we're going to hit like a little montage section here where shit is fucking popping for him.
Yeah.
his girlfriend comes home.
She puts her piss in his tea.
She does. Not quite. First they come home, then they go out to dinner. And
he's DJing vinyl, which he's is DJing. Sick.
He's cool. They go out, they're like clinking fucking champagne glasses.
Yeah.
Then he's drinking his coffee and she comes in and she chucks her piss in it. She's fucking from a distance, just piss chucks. And then
it's a pregnancy test.
And then he looks at her and he's like, bitch, you pregnant? And she's like, yeah, bitch, I'm pregnant.
And then he says, are you going to make me another tea?
Yeah. And there's gags,
but
guys.
But that's the first thing I thought too. He probably perfectly brewed that.
And they're all happy. They're all happy because.
Well, yeah. And then they're getting married.
They're only getting fucking married, all right?
And the wedding is sick, but. Oh,
something. Something to mention that we've already forgotten is we're already planting seeds. The first seed gets planted during. I think it's when he's walking to the Gringotts bank.
Yeah.
There's someone with like a newspaper or there's like a news
headline.
Isn't
there like little trolls that run Gringotts back?
One of them comes out and he goes, there's a pandemic. Remember me? Gringotts, my name.
This is a fictional world in which COVID has happened. And this is our next pandemic.
Yeah. And like, here's the thing about the this show, why this show might not be that successful. It's because it came out in 2022 and I can imagine a lot of people put it on and then got to the bit where a global pandemic started happening. It was just
I thought, this is a bit much.
Nah, I don't want to watch a show about this. Did this. There's a global pandemic happening.
Apparently the number one movie streaming
Contagion. People fucking love that shit.
They were trying something.
But I think that was people mid COVID being
that
like.
That was 2020.
Yeah, they were being like, I'll see how this is going to play out.
Whereas 2022, they were like, let's get on the COVID train. But it was too late. We were over it.
Yeah, we were over it. We're sick of it.
Yeah.
We don't like COVID anymore.
And we really don't like discussing the possibility that it's just going to happen again.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so there's little Easter eggs, but you know what it is?
Hints.
It's foreshadowing, motherfucker.
It's foreshadowing.
They're giving you a bit of foreshadowing. But they keep showing all the pandemic shit that's kind of coming on. But the point is that they kind of show any little glimpse of it. So
yeah, little tiny.
Listen, the biggest dipshit watching this show picks up on it. You know that that's coming back, but it's fine. Like they're happy. They're about to have a kid. She's getting more and more pregnant. Actually, before she's not that pregnant at the wedding. They have the wedding.
But we do mention that someone coughs at the wedding.
Someone coughs at the wedding and kind of walks away.
Yeah.
At the wedding, he goes outside one point and then one of her co-workers comes up to him and they have like a weird moment where the co-worker's like, you're going to take care of her, right? And
call him Smug Face Bastard.
Smug Face is like, you're going to take care of him, right? And then the main character's kind of like, man, I can't even take care of myself. I don't know. Because I think his whole thing is he doesn't like this co-worker and he's like, what are you fucking doing? Like,
to be fair, I didn't like him either.
Yeah, because like, who the fuck are you? You work with her. Don't come up to me in my wedding and start this shit with me. And so then there's that little moment between them. And then a couple more happy moments. I think shit's going well for them. But then it gets dark pretty quickly.
Yep. She's pretty heavily pregnant. They're sitting at home opening Christmas gifts. The baby gets a Tottenham Hotspur.
What they do on the lead up to this, because it's very montagey, but like at one of the montages.
Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming. But there's like a bit where he's like walking through a station and like people starting to wear masks and he's not wearing a mask. And then he's like, oh shit. Then the next scene, he's wearing a mask and she's wearing a mask and they're getting like a Christmas shit, like a Christmas tree. And you can see it's getting more and more bleak. And then.
Sorry. At the start of COVID, you'll remember I was living in Chatswood.
Yes.
And everyone wears masks there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-COVID, everyone wore masks there. It took me so long to catch on that the pandemic was a thing. Because I was like, I'm in Chatswood, people wear masks.
This is what we do here.
Yeah. And I was like, just waltzing around. Pretty much it was until I had to buy toilet paper that I was like, well, this doesn't look good.
Yeah. Man, COVID was funny. We'll talk about it one day.
One day we'll reflect. One day.
But yeah, it's getting more and more hectic. And then it kind of reaches a peak when it's like, let's assume it's like the night before Christmas or maybe it's Christmas Day and they're unwrapping presents and
they both look sick.
They look sick and he's coughing a lot and then she starts coughing and then it's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And so then they take her to the hospital and the hospital's like fucking chaos.
And she's like obviously running out of breath.
Yeah. And it's like, but it's like mid COVID, like every seat's taken. He puts down puts his jacket down the floor and they're sitting on the floor and shit. And like she's coughing and he's coughing. And then like at one point she's like talking to him. She's like, are we going to die?
And then boom. Beep, 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 beep.
We're back at the very start of this whole episode.
July 1st, baby.
He wakes up. It's July 1st. The coolest clock you've ever seen is on the bedside table going sideways. And I actually quite... The thing about this episode I really liked is that, like, when this shit happens in a lot of other things, like, this is your classic time loop, Groundhog Day situation type thing. This is one of the only ones where I've seen where, like, there's not even, like... you know, in a lot of them, they go through the motions a bit? Where yeah. it's like it will take them like four loops before they're like, hold on a second.
No, he's which makes it less frustrating that he's immediately yeah. like, what the fuck is happening?
Because like, yeah, the first second he wakes up. But I guess in this case, like, he'd live 6 months and he wakes up and he's like, holy fuck, why aren't we almost dead?
Yeah, I guess it's different if it's daily.
Yeah, and so then this one.
You could convince me to live the same day for a few times yeah, before I yeah, figure it sure. out. Yeah, for
sure. And so he looks and the same garbage men conversation comes up. He's all freaked out. And then she's like, hey, don't forget you've got your big meeting today. And he's kind of at this point, he's foggy. And he's like, I don't really understand what's happening. But he doesn't quite mention it to her yet.
Yeah.
And then eventually you get the similar scenes happen and they play him in the same way. He walks down the road, he bumps into that guy. He goes into Gringos Bank. And then there's like a hard cut to him talking to the guy who's giving him the loan.
And he's like fucking it up because he's like, we've done this before.
Yeah, he's like, what do you mean this has happened before?
Yeah.
And but the whole time, like, the guy's like, hey, well, I don't know. I don't think I've given you money. But then he gets like real serious with it. He's like, there's a global pandemic coming. We got to be careful. Everyone's going to die. And then the guy's like, hey, buddy. Why don't you get out of here?
Yeah.
Cut to him.
No money for you.
No money for you.
No big money job.
No big money job. And the Deborah starts to come out about here.
Yeah.
So he gets back to the apartment. He's
Before then, she's just been like chucking a piss and drink.
She's like, hilarious. I'm chucking piss. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
What, you have money? Oh, you've got me.
Yeah.
And then so she comes home and finds out he didn't get the big money. And then he kind of turns to her and he's like, starts telling her like, I've done this before. This has all happened before. We live 6 months. Like
yeah.
what's going on? What's going on? And she's kind of like a bit of a bitch straight away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's absolutely no empathy from her side. She's like,
no,
she's like, I think you're wrong.
It does come up and I don't remember when that he got really weird around COVID.
Yeah.
Like he really panicked.
Yeah.
And so she's just like, oh, here he goes again.
Here he goes again. Was right.
Yeah.
Here he goes again. Being right.
Yeah.
But she's definitely not into it at all. And then that's when he starts being like, you need to take a pregnancy test, like to prove it. Because he's like, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
And then he buys her a pregnancy test and gives it to her. And she's like, I'm not taking this test because you asked me to. Which I found weird as well.
Yeah, you think if he's like, at the worst, he's having a little bit of a mental break. Yeah. You would just take the test.
You take the test. And if it's negative.
It's called empathy, Deborah. Yeah.
So she's off him straight away and he's freaking the fuck out because shit is, he saw the world end and he's like, oh fuck, what's going on?
And she's at work and she's throwing a smug face and she's like, he's really losing it. And he's like, I think he's just trying to pull away from you, which is the funniest way to break up with someone.
Yes.
Like I need to get into a relationship so I can break up with them by getting hysterical about a global pandemic.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
No, smug face is so in there. He's just like,
yeah.
No, like definitely, yeah. He probably hates you. Actually, yeah, he really does. Is it because you're fat?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're okay. You know, yeah. you're like, you know, 5 out of 10. But he probably doesn't like you at all.
Yeah.
So he's trying to neg her into a relationship with him.
Yeah, and he's doing a good job.
He's doing a good job because she gets pretty off him pretty quickly.
Well, she comes home and he's bought like hazmat suits.
Yeah, and she's like, "What is this shit?"
And she's like, I'm going to go stay at my mother's, which is the most Deborah line in history.
Deborah would always stay at her mother's.
Yeah.
As soon as anything went wrong, i.e. the wallpaper,
oh,
she
God,
probably
yeah.
wants to stay at her mother's.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes to leave and she does mention, she's like, oh, so-and-so says, she asks if he'll go to therapy and he's like, no, that's not going to help.
Yeah.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
We're all going to die.
I've watched you almost die.
This shit's happened before.
Yeah.
I've already warned you about it.
By the way, there's a baby in your tum.
There's a baby in your tum. I've warned you about it. And by the way, look at the news. It is getting worse. And I've told you I've already lived through this. Why won't you believe me? And so then that starts happening. Eventually she goes to leave. She's like, she mentions her smug face. She's like, smug face says you've got you're having issues. He's like, yeah, he would say that.
Yeah,
I don't really
have
like
you
that
seen
guy.
That guy's face.
It's the smuggest shit I've ever seen. It's
smug as fuck.
So then she leaves and he chases her down in a hazmat suit.
Yeah.
And then she leaves but he can't quite get her,
and then there's a voice from behind him going, let her go.
Yeah. Now, what do we feel about this character?
You see, I didn't like this character either.
She was a bit lame, wasn't she?
And that's why when I write Boss Baby Let's Go Girls, I'm really going to focus on steering away from women like this.
Yeah, that no Deborahs.
The wrong type of women.
No Deborahs and no, like, I don't know what we're even going to call this woman. She's got like a...
She's a lot like the woman in The Peripheral, like the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she kind of comes in and she's like, she's kind of out of nowhere and she's like, let her go. And you can tell from like the get-go, she's like a secret spy agent or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. She has mad.
And she's really playing it like that. Like,
yeah.
There's not, she's playing it like the director was like, can you just like try and be really fucking cool?
Yeah.
And so she's like, all right, I'm going to be really cool. She's wearing like a fucking duster and shit. Yeah. She's pretty lame.
Look, the duster was cool.
Oh, the duster was the coolest shit I've ever seen. Yeah. But she was lame.
Yeah.
And she goes up to him. She's like, I don't think she mentions the time looping at this point. Does she? Or does she?
Yeah. She says, you've been Googling time loops.
That was a pretty good one, actually. Where she's like,
at one point you said Tim loops.
Yeah. I think that was a typo. But the way she delivers the line is like.
It's hard for a woman in a duster to be so uncool.
I know. Right.
But it's actually impressive.
She's like, you've been Googling all this stuff and, you know, you're time looping, aren't you? And he's like, huh? And she's like, she gives him a piece of paper and she's like, next time you loop, come straight here and we'll have a chat. And he's like, what? Yeah. And she leaves and he has like this fucking piece of paper that says like the clock factory or some shit like that.
Yeah, well, that's maybe where you get the clocks.
That's
where the cool clocks are.
That's where they get the clocks. That's where this all starts.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there's a shot of him going over to the clock factory and the side of it is fucking blown out completely. Like half the building's demolished. And he's like, what happened to the clock factory? Boom, we wake up again.
No.
He
is going through when they were buying the Christmas tree earlier and he sees Smugface and his girlfriend and he's got the whole rubbing the arm thing.
What a fucking Deborah. Yeah. Deborah would never, by the way. Deborah would never.
No, Deborah's loyal. That's true. To call her a Deborah is an insult.
So yeah, he sees this woman doing like, she is a Deborah, but she's doing a very un-Deborah-like thing here.
Because
and that's
Deborah lags, but she loyal.
She's a loyal one.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Get yourself a Deborah.
Yeah.
She's a loyal one.
Yeah, just take the nagging.
You got to take a nag every now and then. And so then we see this. And then is there an event here that makes the loop happen again? Or does it just kind of, it kind of happens?
I think the pandemic's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, because in the first one, we didn't see it. But in this one, you see like bodies and fields and shit, don't you? And then it loops back.
I don't remember, although I miss shit all the time, seeing body and feels, but there was a thing being like the death rate is, and it was like soaring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we loop back. He wakes up again. This time he's fucking ecstatic.
He's macking on her.
Kissing his girlfriend, telling her he loves her. And he's so excited to see her again because, you know, she's not loyal, but like he figures this time she might be loyal.
Yeah.
He doesn't even go to the meeting this time. He goes straight to the clock factory.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about that meeting anymore. That was his old life.
Yeah.
This time he goes to the clock factory and he meets up with...
She just appears around a corner.
She does that. She's like around the corner. But here's the thing. It loops so many times that like the first 15 times she blew it, but this time she like came out of the...
How long she's just waiting, like...
Just hiding in a fucking like... Because the clock factory at this point, like, something to mention, it's not fucked up anymore.
No.
Like the building's fine now.
Yeah.
So obviously in that loop, something happened that exploded half the building.
Yeah, but it's like empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he meets up with his lady and the lady's like, oh, glad you showed up. And now they do a lot of just like data dumping. Like, they're just like, hey, we're going to tell you the plot now. Hey, audience, pay attention because you're going to want to hear this. So they're like, we are the Lazarus Project. And he's like, what's the Lazarus Project?
And we're all
Project?
Like, ooh. Title.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, well, I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you everything. And she's like, first of all, you're a mutant. And he's
just
like,
quickly, how often do you think that she's practiced a spiel in front of the mirror?
Every goddamn day.
Yeah, beautiful.
She's like, you're a mutant. And he's like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, well, 0.00001% of the population can remember time loops after they've happened.
Yeah. And she's like, sometimes we like breed people to remember, but you've just done it.
You've just done it. You're one of the rarest people in the world. And she's like, the rest of us, we trained to do it or some shit. Who knows? Basically.
By the way, like think about the amount of time like conspiracy theorists and stuff spend like researching time loops. Does she go to all these people and just get weird with them?
Well, no, all of them just die. Oh, no, because a lot of people would be searching. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because that's how she found him.
from his searches.
Yeah, about time loops, but like, he can't be the only one.
No.
There's heaps of people who do that. I'm sure I've done it.
Yeah. I'm going to start doing it more.
Oh, she might show up.
She might show up.
She's going to nag you though.
She's a nagger, but you know, I'll take it. She seems like a loyal one.
Incognito.
Well, I'm doing incognito, so it's just for me now?
I'm going to do incognito mode anytime we look at time loops because I just don't want to be nagged. I just don't.
She's a nagger. She's a nagger. And so the plot goes as follows. They're like, we're the Lazarus Project. We basically, we're a secret government organization that exists to stop the world from ending. And then, so every time that the world has almost ended, we loop it back. Yeah. And so they give some examples. They're like, during World War II, America and Russia bombed each other, so we had to bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
What were some other ones? Some other ones were like Pakistan got really angry when someone got assassinated.
An Indian national assassinated their leader.
Yeah, and so then they ended the world. And then there was like other ones that I can't really remember as bad.
Yeah, but then he goes into, they're all kind of war. Oh, no, scientists released polio.
Yeah. Some guy went walkabout with polio.
Yeah.
And that went.
And the guy that named Munchausen's by proxy, fictitious disease, placed another person, was like, my dad named that when he was watching it. And then he starts asking, well, why didn't you do anything about 9/11? Weird place to start.
Yeah, but the audience were thinking it. The audience, because the thing is, we never forgot.
We absolutely never forgot.
And
we
so
won't.
When I was watching this, I was like, they better fucking explain that. And she's basically like, oh, come on, man. It's only when the world ends.
Yeah. And then he's like, what about COVID? And she's like, we looped about COVID. How do you think we got a vaccine in 9 months? She's like, you moron.
Yeah. That shit's sick. Absolute but here's moron. The thing. Little rules around this. Little rules they set up here. And one of the rules is they loop back to June or July the 1st.
Mm.
And so they can only loop back to July the 1st. If a year passes, and they loop back, it will go to the most recent July 1st. So that's
and they
a thing.
Will only loop if like the world is going to end.
Yeah. And here's and I quite liked what they did here when he was like, "How does it work?" And then she was like, "Well, do you have a degree in like quantum mechanics?" And he was like, "No." And then she's like, "Well, I can't explain it to you then."
But think about the person that's watching that does. Yeah, he's like, "I'd still like to know.
Please tell me." Yeah. But I like that. I like doing that because it's like.
Also, I hate like a superfluous explanation.
Yeah, and it just kind of washes their hands of it. And I also quite appreciate that about this show where it's like, these are the rules. This is how this thing works. Either jump on board or just watch another show because this is how the show's working.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fine.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And then he meets like the team.
The team. And they're all from lame as shit.
Different like we're from Reykjavik Special Forces and I'm from the Scotland Yard and things like that.
Yeah. And one guy's got like the biggest undercut ever and like the side hair and shit. And it's kind of, they're all like looking like one, they look like trendy and cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then there's one really sad guy looking like really moody and he's the other mutant.
Yeah, but he's a dick.
Oh, he a dick. He pulls some shit.
Yeah, because the other guy's like, he's like, oh, you're a mutant too. He's like, oh, we're actually not the same.
I've been doing this since I was born, bitch.
Yeah, and it's like, well, you are the same.
He's like, well, no, he's right. If he's been looping since he was born, this guy's looped twice. I'd be like,
but that's the thing. Doesn't she say that to him? Oh, why does he? Here's a question. Why, if they loop back COVID, why didn't he remember that then?
Well, no, he only started remembering from these current loops that were happening.
And they were just like.
Because she's like, you've looped like 47 times. She said to him or some shit.
Cool. And then they're just like, hey, don't worry about it. This is what we say and this is the way it works.
I do agree with that guy that they're not the same. If I've been looping since the day I was born.
Yeah, but just don't be a dick.
Yeah, that's true. There's no excuse to be a dick.
Imagine if on like your first day at work, you're like, you know, you start working in a fucking sneaker factory. You walk up to your guy and you're like, oh, hey, man, I'm new here. And then they're like, we're not the same. I've made 1,000 pairs of sneakers and you just started today. Don't talk to me.
Of everyone in the organization I work for, I've worked there the second longest.
Yeah. And then whenever someone new comes in, you go, don't fucking talk to me.
Be like that, though. Like, I'm like, okay, when you've been here as long as I've been here.
4 weeks.
It's true. I've only been there 2.5 years. If anything, it's really sad that I'm the second longest person.
But yeah, he's just a dick.
It's like a cautionary tale to say that I've been here for 2.5 years and everyone's died.
But yeah, he's a dick and like everyone else is kind of nice to him. And they basically are like, hey, buddy, do you want a job working with the Lazarus Project? Oh, and they also meet like an old woman who's like the big boss. And she's like, call me mom.
And behind my back, call me something else. I don't remember.
And it was like just like a normal name. She's like, yeah. My name's Vicky. Call me Mom. But behind my back, call me Vicky.
Yeah,
like,
it was incredibly odd.
What are we doing here? We don't need that.
Yeah.
And she's in charge of being like, let's get the loop back going. Only she can decide. And so then right now what they're doing is they give him a job working at the Lazarus Project. They don't really go into it, but basically the reason why he's valuable to them, whereas they're all like these special ops people, his entire app was about predicting the future and predicting patterns and how data leads into patterns. And so obviously in the future, he's going to be able to be great help to them to solve things because he has the data behind why things happen.
Why is the Moody Mutant valuable?
Dude, they didn't go into it, but I assume...
He feels invaluable.
He feels...
Sorry, unvaluable.
He feels like we're not going to need him, but he probably has some weird like superpower.
Yeah.
Like he's a human bomb. Let's assume he's a human bomb and let's just go on with it.
Yeah.
And so then basically what they're doing is they're trying to solve the pandemic at the moment. And so then we get to live a whole year with him at this point.
And when they're like there, they're talking about where they're at with the vaccine.
Yeah. And they're like,
it's two jabs, 6 weeks apart. It's very on the nose.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like,
and it's called MERS. Is it called MERS?
Yeah, it's a disease like that, called
like MERS
that.
Or something.
But basically, what they're telling us is we've basically caught him. He looped. This final loop is the loop where they've solved it. Like they've got the vaccine now. Mm-hmm. They've looped back a couple of times, and this time only 10,000 people are going to die versus the entire world.
Yeah,
and so they're pretty stoked about that. He gets the job there. They also drop something here where they're like they're monitoring different things, and one of the things they're monitoring, they're like a warhead has just been stolen. And then everyone's like, oh, okay. And then he's like, whoa, that's a big deal. A warhead's been stolen.
Yeah.
But they're like, come on, man. This happens every day. Like, it's nothing to worry about. Can you just actually, it's your first day, so can you just fucking chill?
We're not the same.
You and me, we're not the fucking. Look at you right now. Look how you're acting. Look how I'm acting. We're not the same, bro.
Yeah. Again, me at work.
A lot of things happen in this one. He's kind of all happy with his girlfriend in this one. He doesn't get her pregnant this time, so I guess they didn't fuck. The same time that they did in the
other one, she never seems to get pregnant either. Like the other timeline that we've just had.
No, that's
where guy in the bar.
Yeah, yeah, true.
She wasn't pregnant then either.
True, true. So there must have been one specific time.
But I think when they loop, she doesn't get pregnant for a bit.
Yeah.
Because we do 6 months.
Yeah,
so.
true.
So that's why I thought it was weird when he was like, take a pregnancy test. Yeah. It's like, well.
Probably haven't done it yet, buddy.
Yeah.
And so we live a whole year with them. He's really happy at this new job. He seems to be getting along with the co-workers and stuff. He seems to be quite fulfilled.
He's shooting guns.
They take him to like a shooting range and he's like shooting guns and shit and he's getting okay at it. He seems to be like, he's got like all the computer set up and he's doing his job really well. Mm. I think the only other kind of important things that happen here is at one point, it's all going really well for him and he's enjoying it. And then at one point his girlfriend's like, hey, we've got dinner at Smugface House.
Yeah. And he's like, ooh, can't wait.
Can't wait. He goes to dinner at Smugface House.
He shows up alone, which is odd.
It is, but they work together. So maybe she went there from work.
Yeah. Okay.
And he went there from work. But he goes in and they have a dinner together and Smugface is a big smug asshole the entire time. And then eventually Smugface says to main character, he's like, hey, you do this for a job. Do you have any businesses I can invest in?
He's like, I've got money to invest. Does your little app know what I could invest? It's patronized. It's smug.
Yeah, it's smug.
It's smug. It's on brand.
And so he only goes, oh, I've got a little idea here. And he goes, invest in big company.
Yeah.
And you'll remember big company was the company at the start that he used an example of a company that would fail.
Yes.
And so he's like, and we also saw big company fail in one of the loops as well. And so he's like, invest in big company, really good company. They're going to be huge. And the guy's like, oh, okay, that's dope. I'm going to do that. Cut back to the year that's going along, eventually we see the time go past the loop date to July again.
Yeah.
And this time he's fucking mid-time. Yeah. So every time it loops back, he's fucking.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Which did he do that on purpose? Maybe. Because he was like, this would be pretty fucking funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
this,
good.
This would be pretty cool. And he's like, there's no way that this will ever come back to bite me in the ass.
No.
There's no scenario I can think of where being inside a woman when I loop back is going to be weird.
Yeah, yeah. So then he drops his wife off to work one day. And again, life's going great for him. He's killing it.
He loves his job.
And as he's dropping her off, Smugface kind of approaches her. And he's like, that company went under. And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because, of course, this was a throwaway conversation as far as she's concerned. And he's like, he got me to invest. He knew that it would fail. And she's like, okay.
Talk to him about it. Like, he didn't do it on purpose. Like, companies fail.
And but she's like, we'll talk about this later. And he grabs her and kind of pushes her.
Pushes her. And she goes onto a road. A truck's approaching. But then main character gets behind her and takes her off the road just in time.
Yeah.
And honestly played this chiller than I would imagine most people would.
Yeah.
Like he kind of pushes the smug
guy. I feel
like
if I push a partner onto the road. Like
in front of a truck.
This podcast probably would take some time.
You'd be seeing red. Like in the moment, you'd be fucking serious.
Oh, I would throw down. No, of course.
You'd throw down. 100% you'd throw down. But he kind of just pushes the guy. And
she was seconds away from dying in front of a bunch of children.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because she's a school teacher. I don't know if we mentioned that.
No, we didn't.
But yeah. And so pretty fucked up scene. And then he
Oh, important to know that at the start of this scene, he kisses her goodbye and all the kids go, woo.
And so then he's back at work. We're back at the Lazarus Project and he's been working on finding, he's been following shit. Basically behind the scenes, he's been following this hidden nuke. Yeah. He found out who stole the nuke.
Yes.
Don't worry how, Data, it's fine. He goes up to the big boss and he's like, hey, we found out all this information about the nuke. And then she's like, oh, this goes back to a bank account from Mr. Bad Guy. And then he's like, who's Mr. Bad Guy? And she's like, well, you know that desk you sit at? That was Mr. Bad Guy's desk.
He was a mutant. Well, is a mutant.
He is a mutant like you. Was he a mutant or just worked there? I think
he's
mutant.
A mutant. Yeah.
So and then they're like, oh, crazy. Wow. And he's like, has there ever been any other ones that did this? And she's like, yes. And so then he's like, whoa.
Yeah, why are we going rogue?
Shit, they're all going rogue.
Yeah.
Maybe have a look at that really mean guy down there.
Yeah.
He's probably going to go rogue because he's so mean all the time.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, shit, we're going to go to France now and we're going to confront him. And then he's like, sweet, all right, well, I'll be back.
Howdy.
I'll be here. Yeah. Like,
let's go
have
get
fun.
A baguette.
And then she's
have
like,
some cheese, have a croissant.
And she's like, well, you're coming with us. And he's like, no, I'm not a field agent. And she's like, why do you think that?
She said, who said that?
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I get you. I guess you got me, so I'm going to go
Although,
I'm gonna
like,
go with you.
I can't just assume I'm a field agent because no one's told me it. I'm not. Like, you think that'd have to be a conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess we're field agents. Because, like, literally, Mark, I'm dead serious. No one's told me I'm not.
It's going to be so shit tomorrow at your work when they're like, hey, by the way, yeah, a war just broke out in, like, fucking, like, France. Yeah. So I guess you're going, right? And you're like, sorry? And you're like, well, you're a field agent.
And I'm like, no, I'm not. And they're like, read your contract, bitch.
On the last page, it does say field agent. So yeah, you're going to have to go there and punch some French people.
I used to have a contract at a job that I didn't notice until things got weird that said that anything that the CEO requested was within my job description. Like, that was part of my position description.
Well, you don't want to be a Deborah. You got to kind of don't nag.
You don't want
to
nag.
You don't want to nag.
Yeah.
And so he goes off to France.
Anyway, that's how I started caring for cats. That's dead serious.
Read your contract, motherfucker. You're a cat woman. Yeah. And a field agent, actually. Yeah. So he goes same day to France, which is fine. They're in England, so it's not that long. Mm. They go in like a private jet and shit. I will say, like, I expected. At this point in this episode, we're quite deep in it. There's never been a small budget moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very true.
Like it's felt good the entire time. And
especially the part where they somehow cleared out London.
Yeah. And then when they jump in the jet, I was like, okay, I think this is going to be the bit where it kind of dates it. But like it was fine. Yeah, it looks like a fucking jet. They fly off in the jet. While they're in the jet, there's like people like looking at fucking doing reconnaissance and all this bullshit. Yeah. Like, it's some spy bullshit that's about to happen, and that's fine. Like, I don't think this show's going to do that this much, but who knows if that's going to be a big thing in the show. But they track down the hideout of Big Bad Guy, and all the people are going in, main character and another dude are kind of, like, waiting in a van doing, like, the video shit.
our lady's like going into a building.
She's like front. She's front. She's like the leader of the fucking squad or whatever shit.
And she's like on the ground with Moody Mutant.
Yeah, yeah. Moody's there. They're all there. And
the gang's all there.
Undercut's there, and they're about to go take down this guy who's just stolen a nuke.
Future Cassie here. Later in this episode, I do say that there's a twist in this episode, the Mark missed. I wrote that twist myself. That being said, it would be a better plot. None of it was real, and I discovered that once I watched episode 2.
Hey guys, Kale here. Sorry I didn't make it. Oh, and also classic move, Cassie.
Thank you. I gaslit the shit out of him though. He fully believed it.
Yeah, yeah. So they do that. It goes terribly wrong. Nuke guy knew they were coming. He kills every last one of them in a scene where like basically they're seeing the helmet cam footage of everyone getting fucking taken out.
No, that was the mutant. That was the Moody Mutant.
The Moody Mutant was killing them.
Yeah.
I missed that.
No, that was him.
What?
Yeah, so she goes down and they're like, what? And she turns around. No, it's Moody Mutant and he shoots her.
No.
Yes.
I'm doing a Cassie here. I missed this.
I feel the sense of pride. This is how you feel every time.
Wait. How come there wasn't a scene of them like, no, I think you're wrong.
No, they discuss it once they loop back.
Do they?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
You reckon?
That was Moody Mutant.
No.
Yes. Google it all you want, bitch.
I mean, I'm going to have to like, there'll be no way to find out, will there?
I watched it twice.
You did watch it twice. I'm going to take your word for it, and I really hope you're right. So Moody Mutant turns on them in France.
Yes.
Is he the big bad guy?
That's what I'm saying. They're all going rogue.
So he's working for Big Bad
Guy. No, he's working with Big Bad Guy. Yeah, because they're all going rogue, these mutants. So he's just the next one to go rogue.
Okay, so basically they get there to get one of the old guys, but Moody Mutant turns on them and shoots everyone and everyone dies.
This was a huge twist. I can't believe you missed this.
I missed this shit. I thought it was.
And that's why he's not there when they loop back, because he's on the run now.
Mm.
We'll get there.
Yeah, I thought it was just that they would outsmarted by what's-me-called.
No, so he shoots the lady and that's when they realize everything's going bad.
Yeah.
Then he takes off on a motorbike.
So the big bad guy wasn't even in it?
No.
Wow.
No, we never saw him.
Oh, in my defense, you saw Moody Mutant like once.
Mm.
He was wearing like a motorbike helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing. You see him without a helmet when he shoots her.
Yeah, yeah. Sick. I missed the biggest bit of this episode. Hell yeah.
And so how's it feel to be Cassie?
It feels bad. So he kills everyone.
Next time, just watch episode 7.
He kills everyone and then he escapes and then they do a fucking car chase. The car chase is longer than it needs to be honest.
And he's like telling, they're like, just like they're murdering cops, which like a cab.
Yeah.
And the guy in the van's telling him to shoot.
Yeah.
The guy with the motorbike. It ends up in this standoff in like a market.
Yeah.
And he sees the guy and everything like that.
The other guy in the van that's been driving the van the whole time instantly gets fucking shot at and gets shot in the throat and he dies. So it's just main character and Moody Mutant now in the...
Yeah, but he's got someone in his ear too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the old woman.
Yeah. And then he's like, I've got eyes on him, blah, blah, blah. The police are coming. And then she's like, he's going to detonate.
He's going to detonate. And then she turns to the person next to her and she's like... Black protocol or whatever, like now, which basically means it's time to loop.
It's looping.
I'm calling it. It's time to loop. We fucked this. And then she's like, it's going to detonate. And then he's like, what do you mean? And he turns and the fucking
Eiffel France Tower
just fucking gets nuked.
Yeah.
CGI is fine. Like it's
I thought
it's
this fine. Was impressive. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think this show has like a massive budget. So they did a really good job on it.
Yeah.
He's about to get fucking eviscerated, turned to dust. Maybe he even does.
You see, what's interesting about this, which missing the twist, like this is what intrigued me the most, is why are these mutants going rogue? Is the Lazarus Project the bad thing?
Yes, could be.
Yeah, that's what I found most interesting about it.
But then again, he did nuke a city.
Yeah, but maybe he's just trying to fully end the world, so why?
Yes.
Yeah.
These are the questions.
Yeah, that was the most intriguing thing to me. When that twist came in, I'm like, so they keep going rogue, why?
So then he...
Or does constantly looping just make you crazy?
They loop. He's about to get fucking turned to dust. He loops. He wakes up. He's inside his girlfriend.
He's fucking...
He kind of like jumps up and grabs her and he's just been fucking died. And then they go to sleep. He gets a text from the head cool girl with the duster. Mm. They talk on the phone and the cool girl in the duster's like, I fucking died.
Yeah, she's like, did you see? I got shot in the head.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, that must have sucked. But then he...
How do they retain their memory of every loop? Oh, because they told them they genetically engineered. Sorry, yeah.
But then there's like a moment where he's like, you do realize that like if I succeeded, you would have died. And she's like, yeah, that's what I signed up for. Like that's how it works. So like if everything hadn't gone super wrong and the city got nuked,
yeah,
they would have just let heaps of the people die.
Yeah.
It's about saving the world.
Does he go in for a meeting?
I don't think he does.
No, he does because he's in there and they're talking about the guy. Or maybe this happens on the phone and she says he loops so he knows that we're on to him now.
Yeah. But here's the thing. But we all know that the main bad guy loops as well. Because the main bad guy
100%.
So that's why I thought it was him
though. But they always knew he was a bad guy, whereas this guy's just revealed himself to be bad. I promise you it's him.
Yeah, no, I believe you. So now there's two loopers that like know what's going on and they have a nuke. And now it's the job of Lazarus
and
Project
again,
to find out.
Where I'm interested is are all the ones that go rogue kind of joining together.
Yeah.
Like there's probably more of them because they said a lot have gone rogue.
There's like a Lazarus competition.
Yeah, and who is the real bad guy?
Exactly. But basically she's like, all right, job's on now. Like we know that the nuke's a big deal. We got to figure out how to take him down. We're at a disadvantage because they've got two fucking loopers now that will know what they know our plan. They know all this shit, so we got to figure out how to do it. And then he's like, oh, okay, cool. I'll see you later today.
And that's what they say. They're like, he's abandoned his home.
Yeah.
Whereas they wouldn't have known where the other guy lived.
Yeah. Well, listen, hey, I missed it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm a big dum-dum-dum-dum. And then he goes to drop his girlfriend off at school. He kisses her. A couple of schoolboys like, ooh. Then she walks off and his phone rings this time. It didn't ring last time. And he picks it up and it's his coworker. And she's like, hey, we just got some information about bad guy. About
this
moody
when she
guy.
Says that he's like, Ditchy's house and stuff like that.
And she's like, do you want to come in and have a look like and talk about it? And then he says to his girlfriend, he's like, hey, I got to go into work. She's like, I thought you weren't working today. He's like, yeah, something came up. I have to go. And she's like, cool.
You know, so, she says you work too hard.
So like sliding doors situations. The first time he walked with her, this time he didn't. Yeah. She walks up. You can see he's talking on the phone and then you see the truck go past him.
And in the background, you see the start of that confrontation again.
Yeah.
The truck goes past. Smug guy pushes her out and splat screams, she dead.
He runs towards her, cut to black, end of episode.
Which was a great ending because I was like also super intrigued.
Yeah.
Because you know he's going to be like, come on, loop back.
Oh, I'll loop back. But the rule is unless the world ends, we don't loop back.
Exactly.
But then this loop is just going to be fucked. Like is this next loop, and I think that probably ties into the whole them going rogue
shit.
Like he's going to this loop be actively trying to end the world. And that's probably all it is. It's probably like Moody guy was hell moody that one because like someone he loved died and he's like, well, I have to fucking, I have
to
end the
world.
You see, I don't
think so. I think that they discover something bad about the Lazarus Project or that like we can't loop the world this often and it's affecting and you got to die.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or maybe every time they loop, they get bad headaches and he's just like,
I don't want another headache. This is too much.
Yeah.
That leads us to ratings for the pilot episode of The Lazarus Project. Cassie, what are you giving this one?
I thought this was great. There was one scene of dialogue that I hated and I can't think of it now. Anything with Mr. Moody when they're talking. Like Mr. Moody's dialogue is stupid.
Yeah, shit. But he was like, I play netball and don't forget about the swimming. And you're like, come on, man.
Yeah,
is this
exactly.
You? Is this what you are?
Yeah. So like, other than that, I thought this show was great. As you said, it sets itself up beautifully.
Yeah.
It intrigues me. There's like a big twist and a big shocker. I'm going to give it a 9.
A 9.
I thought this was really good. High. And once I finish season 2 of The Bear, I'm going to watch it.
Hell yeah. This one to me, I think I'm going like a, for a pilot episode, I'm going like a 7.75.
Yeah.
7.75. I think this isn't.
Why though?
Well, I don't think this is a great show, and I don't think it needs to be a great show, but I think it's an interesting premise. It's cool enough, like, and it's well produced enough that it looks good. I just don't think it's like going to blow your mind with how good it is.
Yeah.
But I think it's good. Like, I think as far as the pilot goes, it did a fucking good job at like getting everything set up.
Keep in mind, we're reading the pilot, not the show.
It is a bit like, a bit of it was like, hey, here's the rules, accept it. And I'm kind of fine with that. I'll do that.
Yeah,
as long as they stick to these rules throughout the show and don't get silly with it, I think it's going to be fine. Something interesting to note is on IMDb, I think the first season is way lower rated than the second season.
Oh, interesting.
Because when I was going through the episodes, like on IMDb, like the highest rated episodes have like a tag on them that's called like, you know, like greatest episode or whatever the fuck it says, like highest rated episode or whatever.
Yeah.
All of season two was that. So all of season two, and I can check right now, but I'm pretty sure like all of season one was middling around the sevens, whereas season two.
That's really good to know though, if I'm not super into season one to keep going. Are you going to watch it?
Yeah, I reckon I will. It was enough in there to get me. And it was, you know, it was fun. But so it's got a 7.3 overall, and season one is like never going, like one episode has a 6.7, the rest are around the sevens.
Yeah.
But season two, we're talking 7.7, 8, 7.7, 8.3, 8.3. Like we've hit the eights for season two.
Sick.
So it's definitely, it's building up to be better, which, yeah, you know.
Which is good too, because with a show like this, they fall down in the second season.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. I hope that this is like a two or a three season and done.
Well, British shows are good at that, except for Doctor Who.
Except for Doctor Who. But it was cool. It was cool. It was definitely a cool show. I would recommend it to people to watch. Like if I wouldn't be like, you have to watch this. But if someone's like, oh, I can't find anything to watch, I'd be like, oh, The Lazarus Project's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Chuck that on.
Yeah.
And that's the pilot episode of The Lazarus Project. What do we usually do to end the show? It's been a while since we've ended the show.
Usually Kale yells something about pussy-ass bitches.
Pussy-ass bitches. I guess at this point we'll do an open call to the audience to give us some suggestions.
Yeah.
We've been doing this a really long time, so you know, we're always going to bring the same shit. So if you've got any cool shit that you want to tell us, write into testpilotpodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Instagram. Just tell us a cool show to do.
I got a couple of suggestions today coming through.
Nice, nice.
We love that. And if you want to come on the show, let us know.
Yeah, we'll have some guests on this year. I mean, this is fucking how many years? When did Test Pilot start? Let's go back into the archives of Test Pilot Podcast and see. This is 2024, ladies and gentlemen. This is our.
I want to say 2018.
Oh, I reckon you're wrong.
You reckon it's longer?
I reckon it is. I think we've been doing this a very long time. Like, longer than you would ever expect. No, our first episode was 2019. That's not right.
I think it is.
Is it?
That's 5 years.
Yes, 5 years. This is our fifth year
of
Test Pilot Podcast. Wowee. If it was a child, five, like, it's not that interesting.
Oh, I'd be starting school.
Be starting school. First year of school for Test Pilot Podcast.
Yeah. Learn reading and math.
Shit.
Yeah.
Shit. A lot of people did something 5 years ago that's made them a lot of money by now.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Like fucking TikTok. TikTok didn't exist 5 years ago.
That's true. We predate TikTok.
We should have done TikTok instead.
We were discussing like this.
Do we do a podcast or do TikTok?
Where teenagers dance. And to be fair, I was really into the app.
Said this will never work. No one likes teenagers. Yeah. They scare the living shit out of me.
And they terrify all of us.
Thank you so much for listening. And we're going to end this episode in a different way than we usually do, because usually we end with Kale saying his infamous catchphrase that he says every week. But this week we're going to end with
saying, we love you, Kale, you pussy ass bitch.